Hi, my name is Gordon Sinclair. I am known on the IRC as Thistleweb. Now, this HPR episode is about customs, and it's about how to get your laptop, your netbook through customs with your data at the other side and effectively hidden from the copyright cops, the customs officers, who are these days basically working at the behest of the entertainment mafia, and who have all sorts of rights and excuses to go rifling through your private data, looking for downloaded MP3s and movies and stuff like that. So you've got different ways to do it. The last thing you want to do is to try to pretend that, the laptop isn't working. I'll never buy that. The idea is to cooperate and let them see what they think is everything, when you know it's not. So you've got different ways to do it. I mean, I think of this as the like the airport security. When you walk through the metal detector, your luggage goes through separately when it's x-rayed and stuff like that, and there's a security customs officer there, and obviously the things like your keys will trigger the detector. You take them off and you go through again, and so you've got to find a way to get your data from one side of this barrier to the other, while keeping it hidden or keeping it away from the customs officers. So there's different ways to do this. The first one is using some sort of cloud service whereby you upload your home folder to some cloud service, and then once you're through customs, you go through with a blank laptop or a blank netbook, and you get to your hotel at the other side, you connect to the internet and you download it all from that server, and then the reverse on the way back as well. Before you're ready to return home, you connect to that server again, upload your home folder again, delete it, and come through customs, download it when you're back home again. Now, there's issues with that. If you're a business traveller, then that's less of a hassle, because chances are it's going to be your company's server you'll connect to, and it will be your it will be secure, or presumably it will be secure. The connection will be secure, and the cost of uploading through wireless dongles or whatever, local connections, that's all going to be covered by your company. The issue is here is for home users, for domestic users, when you take your machine on holiday with you, then you're looking at something, most likely it's going to be a third party cloud service like Amazon or Google, or God help you, Microsoft, some server somewhere. But the problem with that is you're putting your own personal data onto a third party server. There's all sorts of privacy concerns with that. It will be mined for all sorts of information about you, so that they can then target you with other services. And Google have algorithms to scan inside your Google Mail to pick out keywords and inject adverts based on those keywords. It's not a human being, but it is still an algorithm that's helping to build up a profile on you. So that's one concern, is that it's you're putting your private stuff in that cloud, third party cloud. It's not entirely private. The second issue is with that is once you put it in the cloud, a lot of the cloud solutions are American based, so that as soon as you put it there, the various departments of the American government then decide, oh, that falls under our jurisdiction. It's a company on our soil, it's a server on our soil, it's registered as a .com. We have legal access to that. And they don't even have to ask you. If they're going for a fishing expedition, they want to find out what data they have on a user. They can just go to Amazon, or they can go to Google, or Microsoft, or whoever the provider is, and they'll roll over and sell you out, essentially, and you'll never know about it. So that's another concern. The other one, if you can get around that, I'm assuming you don't have anything that's really that troubling. If you can get around that, the other concern is about cost. Because if you're going on holiday, you're not going to get a quote value for money, unquote, ISP package when you're across in this country. If you're only there for 2 or 3 weeks, then you're going to buy a local ISP's dongle, USB dongle. If I go to America, I'm not going to sign up to a 2-year contract with AT&T. I'm going to buy like a pay and go USB dongle that's a throwaway thing. I'm only going to use it and maybe top it up if I have to. And it's a throwaway thing. So if you have to download your home folder through this USB dongle per megabyte, that's going to be expensive, or it could be expensive. And then the same with going for putting it back up the way before you come back home again. The other concern with that is if you're asked by a customs officer to open your laptop or your netbook and switch it on and log in, which is the whole point of this episode, is how you can do it without while keeping your private stuff intact. So if you're going to be asked that anyway, then it looks suspicious. If you've got an empty laptop with nothing on it, it looks suspicious. And that's these people are looking for any excuse to huckle you away to the side and call you a terrorist and whatever, and use all sorts of powers to seize and do whole forensics on your machine. The whole point is you want to go through and let them see everything, or at least what they think is everything. So going through with an empty laptop would raise suspicions. So you'd at least be asked why. Now, you could get away with it for a company. They say, look, this is a business laptop. It's company policy that we don't have any sensitive information on here. That we are forced, by all sorts of data protection laws to keep consumer data secret and all this. You can use all that for a corporate, but you're not going to get away with that as an individual holidaymaker. So that's the cloud. But what I mean by a cloud is basically a server somewhere. You could have your own FTP server or whatever. So it's just the idea of putting it up to some other server and back down has its issues. The other way to do it, or an other way to do it, would be to have a decoy user account. Now, for this, it would mean that you would have to make sure your login manager does not show the user list, so that when you're asked by a customs officer, look, could you switch your machine on and log in, please? Certainly, officer, not a problem. And you can log in with the fake username and the fake password. And for that, you would have to prepare it beforehand, prepare the account beforehand, to make it look like a regular lived-in home rather than a show home. So for that, you could do a lot of things Like, go and download a few podcasts, a few Creative Commons audiobooks, create a few fake documents, Word documents, that are like, you know, letters to your local council or something to say, oh, the trash hasn't been collected, I'm paying my taxes, what's all this, you know. So you do stuff like that, prepare it in advance, change the wallpaper, have things open by default, like a media player open by default, have your, go into your web browser, bookmark some pages, some YouTube videos, some Flickr pages, some blog posts, subscribe to a few RSS feeds. You get the idea. Make it feel like a genuine home, so that it looks authentic when you sign into it. Now, because if you've always got the possibility of, when you log in, there's a lot of RSS feeds that are marked as fresh. They've not been read yet. You might think that would look suspicious. I don't agree. Because you've always, especially with a netbook, you've always got the argument of, well, you know, and if there's updates as well to come, you can always say, well, look, I've actually got my regular laptop when I'm at home, or my regular desktop when I'm at home. My netbook only gets used when I travel, so it can be switched off for months and months at a time, and then just charged before I leave home when I go on holiday. And that's just the condition it was in the last time I switched it on. I sometimes remember to switch it on every 2 or 3 weeks and do updates. Sometimes I don't. It's no biggie, really. So that's very, very plausible in that situation. So that's one. That's another way. The issue I see with that, though, is when you are when the whole point of this is to let the officers, give the officers full cooperation, and the thing with that is you cannot rely on being the one that clicks around in different places. You've got to be able to stand back and let the officer go wherever they want to go. If they want to click on something, they click on it. It's entirely possible that they would go in the file manager, they would click on up from the home folder, which would lead you to seeing the home folders for every account on the install. So with that, it's just a double click into another folder, and they're into your private stuff that you're trying to sneak past them. So that defeats the purpose. That's the flaw in that plan. There's another way to do it as well, and that is to have a decoy distribution. Now, if you go travelling quite a lot, it would be worth actually setting your laptop up or your netbook up like this, with a decoy distribution. And for that, I would say don't go with a GNOME distribution or a KDE distribution, not because they're bad, but because features in Nautilus, and I believe Dolphin as well, would actually count against you here. When I don't use Dolphin very much, so as far as I remember, this happens in Dolphin as well. Nautilus, it picks up partitions that are on your disk, and it helpfully mounts them and puts them in the sidebar, which is great. It's really handy, but in this case, you don't want that, because the officer is just a click away from your home folder, your real home folder, which is the whole point of trying to hide that. So I would suggest going for something that's light, that doesn't use Nautilus or doesn't use Dolphin. Thunar is a good bit. So something either XFCE or even Crunchbang uses Thunar as well. So if you set up your if you set it up to dual boot and put your main distribution as you would normally install it, but leave, say, a 10 gig partition at the end of the drive for your decoy partition, and install whatever it happens to be. It might be Crunchbang, it might be something else, and put that on the remaining 10 gig. And again, the same thing happens, the same thing applies. Make sure that that you prepare it in advance, change the wallpaper, set up bookmarks, RSS feeds, some decoy documents, make it look like a genuine home. And then when you're asked to boot up the laptop, well, you've got something to go into that's not going to see and not going to mount your normal stuff. So the problem, the next thing is here, well, if you're dual booting, then surely you would get the grub menu, and the officer would see that and see that there's two operating systems and would want to see both. Well, here's the trick. If you install, make sure grub is controlled from the decoy operating system. When you are about to go on holiday, when you're about to travel and you know that you might get pulled out of line and being asked to switch the machine on, what you do basically is log into the decoy operating system, the decoy distribution. You could even do your updates and whatever before you, while you're there. But open up grub and change a couple of things in the grub file. So it'd be sudo space gedit space slash boot slash grub slash grub dot cfg. That'll open it as root, obviously. It needs to be root, and with gedit, use your editor of choice. And the two things you're looking to change here, first of all, is the set default equals zero. That means that it's always the one that's right at the top of the list. That ensures that when you get a new kernel, it boots into that, because that appears at the top of the list. Now, if you count down the number to the one that's your actual decoy and set that as your default, obviously it starts at zero, so if your decoy is fourth on the list, then that would be set default equals 3, 0, 1, 2, 3. So you might need a bit of trial and error to get the correct default as your decoy one as a default. So I would set that first, and then reboot. Don't touch it, let the timer count down and see where it goes. Once you've got the right distribution, or the right one, then go back into grub again. And change, the next thing you're looking for is the timer. So it's set timer equals 5 or 10 or whatever, that's in seconds. So change that to 0. And if you do, as soon as you do that, you don't see grub. The next time you reboot, you don't see grub. It goes straight into your default as if that's the only thing on the disk. So that's basically it. When you walk through customs and you're pulled out of line, could you power your laptop up, please? Certainly, officer, not a problem. And you power it up, your grub doesn't show, it goes straight into the decoy. You sign in as you'd expect to sign in, and happily stand to the side and let the officer click away to their heart's content. You're the model of a cooperative citizen, knowing fine well that your data is actually on the machine they're touching, but they'll never see it. It is basically invisible ink. The other way to look at it, and the whole wall analogy, is it is the tunnel underneath. Excuse me. It is the Great Escape. As your data travels underneath their feet, and they are completely oblivious to it. So that's how we do that. The other way you can do with grub is have it to automatically reboot into the last used install. I wouldn't trust that, because just in the off chance that that you forget which one was the last one and you end up booting into your real partition, you're left with no choice but to log in and give away all your data. So I wouldn't do that. I would certainly set it at a fixed default and do that. So that's it. If you are regularly going through customs, you can get your stuff, assuming you can keep a straight face, knowing that the officers are completely oblivious. You can get your private stuff through customs, right under their noses, and they'll be none the wiser. Obviously it's not going to do anything for forensic searches, but the whole point is you are the model of cooperation, so they have no reason to suspect there's anything up. That's the whole point. The other side to this would be encrypting your normal data, but I'm going to do separate screencasts about that. The whole point is just to keep it away from the search at customs. So that's it for this episode. And if you have a need for that, then I hope it's helped you. And if you do, if you do so and get caught, ain't nothing to do with me. As usual, it's the whole Linux thing. Use it at your own risk. So thanks for listening. I'm Gordon Sinclair. I am on the IRC as Thistleweb. You can contact me if you like at gordon@thistleweb.co.uk. And until the next episode, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.